Good morning, everyone. It's very good to be with you, and it's very encouraging for me to be at this church because I've heard so many good stories of Living Hope Bosch Church, and it's exciting to hear.
Dumelanku ke utleta batsinga taka kreka lo na vale kthabilo re ke bete mona.
Our reading this morning comes from the Book of Lamentations.
Ah, re tsabala bukenya dilo tsa Jeremiah. O kodiya malla. Ke buke ka mora ya Jeremiah, kodiya malla.
Chapter 3.
Kodiya malla chapter 3.
And we're starting the reading at verse 21.
Re tsabala twa ka verse 21.
Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear his yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheeks to those who would strike him. Let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Tsena ke santse ne ke di hopola ka ho ke santse ke na le tshepo ka baka la lerato la morena rato le sa feleng ha re ya ka ra ba ra timela mehauhelo ya hae ha e soka e kgaotsa o seng ho hong le ho hong e ya ntjhafala botshepehi ba hae bo boholo haholo ka pelong ya ka nna ke re Morena ke ena kabelo yaka, ka ho ke itshepetse yena fela. Morena o molemo o bohle ba motshepang. O molemo ho bohle ba mmatlang. Ho molemo ha motho a ba le letshepa. A lebella ka mamello hore morena a mo pholose. Ho molemo ha motho a jara joko ena. A e jara nakong ya botjha ba hae. A dule a le mong. A dule a kgutsitse. Hoba o e jarisitswe ke morena. A obamele fatshe ho hlompha morena mohlomothuso e ka nna ya mohlahela a se ke a thibela ya mojabelang lerama ha mamelle mahlapa ohle a motlelang morena ha ke be a lahle batho morena ha ke be a lahle batho ha ke be a lahlela molahlela ruri le ha a tlisa maswabi o utlwela bohloko ka baka la boholo ba mehauhelo ya hae A sore ho hlokafatsa batho wa ho thabela kapa hona ho batlisetsa maswabi.
Let's pray.
Harapele.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we could be here this morning and worship you as your people. And we ask that you would be with us and that you yourself would speak to us and change us into the likeness of your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what I want to talk about this morning is that feeling we very often have that God is distant from us. This we often experience when in our sufferings and when things are going wrong in us and when all the circumstances are against us. We may even feel that as the church today in Living Hope Bosch, where it feels like the numbers are small and the people are not coming. So this passage addresses how should we respond to God during our times of suffering. And its answer is loud and clear. It says that there is always hope for the people of God. So to understand this passage, we have to go back and understand where Israel is at the moment. What had happened was they had fallen into sin, and God had said, well, if they're going to fall into sin, He is going to send them away and punish them in a distant land. But now, everything they had and held dear was taken away from them, their temple, their land, their priests. So it felt like they had no access to God anymore, and things were just going from bad to worse in the country. And so they're asking the question, is there still hope for them, even though they're being sent away? And we see the answer in this passage is, yes, there is still hope. You see, in the whole book of Lamentations, the whole book is very dark because of the judgment that the Lord has inflicted on His people. But now in verse 21, we see that there's a big change that takes place. You see, he says that there is hope, but how is it that there could be hope in such devastation? You see, the author recognizes two things, and I think we need to recognize those two things also today. First, he recognizes who God is, and second, he recognizes how we should respond to God. Look at verse 21. It says, yet this I call to mind. You see, he has to remind himself of who God is. And so we see that he remembers who God is and who he is. So what do we learn about God in this passage? Well, we learn three things about who God is. And the first thing is that God is sufficient, or God is enough. Look at verse 22. The reason he says he has hope. He says, it's because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed. You see, not consumed it means that they were not completely destroyed. And the only reason they were not completely destroyed was because of the Lord's great love towards them. You see, at the beginning and at the end of this passage, it talks about God's love. In verse 22 and in verse
32.
That means that everything in the middle is going to be motivated by the Lord's love towards His people. And this is so surprising to us, because all the way in the book so far, it has been talking about God's judgment against His people. But now it tells us about His love. And look at verse 23. It says that His love is new every morning. It means that His love is vital, it's living. It means we don't just have to look back at what he did in the past, we can know that he loves us now. And why can we know that he loves us now? Look at the rest of verse
23.
It says, great is your faithfulness. You see, his faithfulness has to do with keeping his promises. So, his promises to Abraham that he would give him land, he would give him many descendants, and he would bless him. His blessings to Noah that he would preserve his people. His promises to Solomon that he would bring a king. His promises to Moses that he would bring a prophet. So Jeremiah looks at all these things and he recognizes that these promises have not yet taken place. So he knows that the Lord will not completely destroy them because he still has promises to keep. And so he responds in verse 24. He says, I say to myself, again, it's that phrase where he's reminding himself of the things of the Lord. He says, the Lord is my portion. So portion has to do with the Lord being our inheritance. So in Deuteronomy 10, verse 27, all the people of Israel were given land. But not the people of the Levites. Because they were told that the Lord Himself is their inheritance. And so Jeremiah recognizes, even though they lose their land now, the Lord is their portion or their inheritance. And so he recognizes this, that God is enough for him. It's exactly what the psalmist says. He says, who have I in heaven but you? Who is there on earth besides you? And so his response is that he will wait upon the Lord.
Now,
waiting is a hope which is in a future expectation. Now, hope doesn't mean we do nothing about the situation. It means we actively trust in God during that time. Can you see how all three elements which are mentioned in the New Testament, faith, hope, and love, are in this passage? So we see that God is enough. So the second thing we learn about God is that God is good. Look at verse 25 to 27. It uses the word good three times. And now in the Hebrew understanding of good, this is more than just moral goodness. It's holistic health. So we see three things, those three goodnesses there. first in verse 25.
Oh, verse 25.
It says that the Lord is good.
Here Morena, omlimo.
To those who wait for him. Now waiting for him doesn't mean we run away from him. It means we go to him. We enter his presence. And we ask for his help. Then in verse 26 it tells us that it is good to wait quietly for the Lord. Now, this doesn't entirely mean being silent before the Lord. Because what the Book of Lamentations does is it uses many words in speaking to God. And so the author never questions God's justice in these actions. He just asks God, why does it continue to be so horrible? Then in the third verse, in verse 27,
oh, verse 27,
it says that it is good to bear this yoke for a man while he is young.
Now
this yoke he's talking about is the discipline that the Lord has given to them. They had sinned against him and he is punishing them for that sin. So why does it say it's good to be disciplined when you're young? Jeremiah means that if you're disciplined when you're young, then you've received that instruction and you are ready when you're older and don't need that anymore. This doesn't mean this is the way it happens with everyone. He's just saying this is the best way for it to happen. It's the same thing that Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12 verse
1.
It says, remember your Creator in the days of youth. Before the days of trouble come. And the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. So now we see that Jeremiah continues to respond to who God is in this passage. The first thing we see is in verse 28. It says that we must be silent before the Lord. Now, do you remember when Job was struck with all those sufferings? He lost his family, his home, all his possessions. And then he was completely silent before the Lord for 7 days. It's the silence of mourning for the sins that has happened and for the devastation that has taken place. So what this passage is telling us is that sometimes when there is such a great tragedy, it is good to be silent before the Lord.
That's
verse 29.
Verse 29.
They didn't bury his face in the dust. Now, what this means is a willingness to go down low. It doesn't mean that the enemies are making him low. It's saying that he himself is willing to go low before the Lord and repent of the sins that he has
committed.
And that's the central thing in the Book of Lamentations. The people have sinned against the Lord, but they would not acknowledge their sins to him. And if they don't acknowledge their sins before the Lord, there is no hope for them. That's why when Jesus came preaching, he says, repent and believe the kingdom of God. Without repentance, there is no hope. So look at verse
30.
It says, let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him. What Jeremiah is saying here is that he must be willing to receive the suffering for the sins that he has committed. Because God had promised them if they do sin against him, he would inflict this punishment on them. But without this acknowledgement of their sins, there would be no stopping the suffering. Jonathan Edwards once wrote, it is God's manner of dealing with men. To lead them into the wilderness. Before he speaks comfortably to them. And so to order it that they shall be brought into distress and made to see their own helplessness. And absolute dependence on his power and grace. Before he appears to work any great deliverance for them. You see, without us recognizing that we actually need a savior, he will never save us. And so this is what the people of Israel needed to see. They needed to humble themselves before the Lord. Because the promise of verse 30 is that there may yet be hope. Now let's continue to look who God is. And thirdly, we learn that God will restore his people. Look at verse 31.
It
says, for men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Now this isn't talking about all people. This is only talking about God's people. And so if you believe in Christ and you're going through a time of darkness, then that means the Lord will still yet restore you. But that is only if you trust in Jesus. And how do we know that he will restore his people? In Psalm 30, we read the story of a man who was very prosperous. And in his prosperity, he completely forgot the Lord. And so the Lord allowed him to lose everything. It is only when he lost everything that he came to recognize that he needs God. And so he returned to God. Look at verse 32. Though he brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. You see, at the moment, the people of Israel were experiencing this judgment that the Lord had brought upon them. They were not experiencing the Lord's comfort. But Jeremiah was reminding them that there is a future which is hopeful. And so they need to look to that future to remember what God will do for them. Now, how can we be sure that God will act in this way? The first thing is that God's character is perfect. We see that He is the God of compassion and He is the God of love. And it says here that His love is not only there, but it is unfailing. And second, we must remember God's promises. God will always act on His promises and will never forget them. So as Christians, we need to take God's promises back to Him. And so He will answer them. Now look at verse 33. It says, "For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." Now what this means is that He doesn't do it from the heart. This is not His normal way of dealing with His people. It's like a parent when he disciplines his child. That's not how he normally treats his child. But he treats them in this way because they have sinned. And it's exactly the same with God. So when we experience the sufferings that we do go through as Christians, we have to remember that God's heart towards us is loving. But here we come to another difficulty in the passage. In the whole book of Lamentations, it's been speaking about the justice of God and the wrath of God. How does he balance that with the love of God? You see, God has said He'll send His people away into exile for their sins. But the crime doesn't match the punishment. They had sinned against an infinite God. And so they deserve an infinite punishment. But that's not what they received. And at the same time, the God's display of love to them is a very limited one. Even after they have come back after 70 years, they see that it's not the same in the land. The temple was not as glorious as it used to be. The people are far fewer. And the land is completely empty. So we see that God's justice we can't really explain here, nor can we understand His love fully. And But that's why we need to understand the person of Jesus. You see, even though this was 400 years before Christ came, it speaks of him. In John chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you will find eternal life." But he says, "They point to me." And so the point is, even if you read all of the Bible, but you don't see Jesus, nothing of that matters. And so even in this passage, we see Jesus. And I want to show you. Look at verse 31. It says, "For men are not cast off by the Lord." Verse 30. "Let him offer his cheek to one who will strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace." You see, at the cross, we are told that before Jesus was crucified, he was mocked, spat on, and slapped. And we see the same thing in this passage. And so it's only really at the cross that we come to understand God's wrath and God's love. Because the punishment against sin is an eternal hell. And that could never be satisfied in a short exile of 70 years. But at the cross, we see that God's punishment was poured out on Jesus for our sins. And that's where we also most perfectly see God's love towards us. Because he sent his only son for us. And so Jeremiah would have longed to have seen this demonstration of God's wrath and God's love. But he never did. Don't you miss this. This is the most important thing for you to see. In our sufferings, we have to remember the person of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. So let's think about how these things affect our sufferings. So when we go through difficulties, we need to think about who God is and who we are in relation to him. God is enough for us. He's good towards us. And he will restore us out of the suffering. And we should respond then by trusting him. We should respond to him by hoping in the future with him. And we should wait patiently for him. So don't lose hope in your circumstances. Things might look very dark at the moment. But the Lord will deliver his people out of these things. Now it is our responsibility to be certain that we know the Lord. Because these promises are not true for all people.
Then I said to
They are only true for those who have put their hope in Jesus and have repented of their sins. But once we have repented of our sins and we still go through sufferings, we have these promises. And I want to show you that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting at verse 7.
Bakurita Bambedi chapter 4. Stataka verse 7.
But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death, for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies.
Re patiswa ka nka tsohle empa are jaratsehe ra tsieleya empa ha re nyaha mipelo re a hloriswa empa ha re furanlwe ke bohle re ratla mafatshe empa ha re shwe re se re mahloko a lefu la Jesu meleng ya rona ka mehla hore le bophelo ba hae botle bo bonahatswe meleng ya rona rona ba phelang ka mehla re kotsing ya ho bolawa ka baka la Jesu.
So when you go through these times of difficulty, remember Lamentations
3:22.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail.
Okay.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are so kind to us and that you have so much goodness in store for us, that you love us with an everlasting love, and that you care for your people, that you're compassionate towards them, and that you care for them as children, because we have been adopted into your family. O Lord, we know that these light and momentary sufferings will only last for a short time. But we do pray that you would help us to endure them, and not only to endure them, but to look to you during that time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is from number 40, I think, so we can stand and sing together. Let's remain standing for the benediction. Let's pray. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you for coming, and thank you for having me as well today. It's been a great privilege.
And my sermon is only 45 minutes.
Yeah.
She complains.
Is it?